Hey, that was a pretty good start to the holiday shortened trading week. Higher prices with the good vibes coming from the stock market and making their way out through commodities. Even after trading lower most of the morning, wheat futures worked to mix prices in afternoon trade.
Live from the depths of delirium via Farm Journal broadcast, this is Hagritalk! This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic checks in with the view from Standard Grain. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, Davis. You know what else we're doing this afternoon?
What else? Did I miss something?
We are welcoming the folks up in Fairmont and Martin counties listening on KSUM 1372.
All right.
KSUM to welcoming them to the afternoon hour of AgriTalk. Welcome, everyone, up there in Fairmont and Martin counties.
Yeah, that's terrific. Welcome aboard, everyone.
Huh? Yeah, it's good to talk with you up there. If you know, hey, if you've got anything that you ever want to let us know, just give Davis a call.
That's right. That's right. You can call me. Actually, it's better if you
855-482-5524, and Davis will be right there to take care of you.
Absolutely. I've got a blue phone and a green phone, and really, it doesn't matter. They both ring.
It's
whichever one I feel like picking up. So, yeah, make them ring. Or if you're on the Twitter sphere, the Twitter box, you can hashtag your tweet with your thoughts, your prognostications, your questions.
Yeah.
Hashtag AgriTalk. Hashtag AgriTalk.
Very good. Very
good.
We'll be sure
to see
it. Double dinger.
Double dang. Double dang.
Yep. Hey, we got some storms that are starting to fire up across the Midwest here. Southern Iowa, up into Northeast Iowa. I can hear thunder outside my windows right now.
Yep.
These showers, with the amount of humidity that we've got in the air and the temperatures warming up like they are this afternoon, it's no surprise that we've got some showers that are popping up. But, I mean, this is really quite the stretch. It's from the Upper of Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, I bet
down
there.
Down through Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and all points west of eastern Nebraska. I'm sorry, east of eastern Nebraska. And they're just popping up everywhere right now.
So, they really are. And dude, you know, and I'm not a trained climatologist. I'm not licensed, but I can tell you for a fact, it got humid in a big hurry. It seems like once that cold front moved through, all of a sudden, now we're in swamp conditions here in central Iowa, just like that.
Yeah. And speaking of swamp conditions, boy, there are some really swamped areas of the Midwest, Southwest Iowa, lots of Illinois, Indiana. I think South Bend, Indiana may have seen a typhoon over the Memorial Day weekend.
I didn't think they could get those there, but I saw some video that might change my mind.
I love it. All right. Hey, before we get to Joe, let's get to some of the news.
Sure thing. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended May 21 were at the low end of trade expectations and totaled nearly 458,000 metric tons. Total wheat shipments are nearly 1% ahead of year ago, which is just behind the pace needed to get to USDA's old crop wheat export estimate. Wheat was a hesitant follower of the rally in corn and soybeans today as traders remain concerned about a lack of export demand for U.S. supplies. July hard red winter wheat, 2¾ cents higher, 447 and a quarter. July soft red slipped 2 cents, 506 and three quarters. July spring wheat gained 4¾ cents to close at 517 and three quarters. Chip.
Yeah, we're still watching the European wheat trade very closely for direction in the U.S. And even though Ukraine hit their export quota, it sounds like they're going to continue to provide supplies to the export market. So it's not going to be a whole lot of help for the U.S. trade.
Corn export inspections in the weekend of May 21 of nearly 1.1 million metric tons were also at the low end of trade expectations. Traders expect stronger corn demand in the final quarter of the marketing year, but total corn export commitments are nearly 29% behind year ago compared to USDA's forecast that exports will be off just 14% from year ago. Traders are also looking for short covering in the corn market after CFTC's commitments of traders report showed funds were short. Chip, nearly 250,000 contracts as of 1 week ago today. July corn futures were a penny higher at 319. September corn firmed 1 1/4, 324 even. December corn closed at 334. That's up a penny and a quarter on the day.
Yeah, we're going to need to see some consistency in the daily export sales reports for corn to get us to where USDA says we're going to be in just three more months.
U.S. exporters shipped just 333,000 metric tons of beans in the week ended May 21. That was short of pre-report trade expectations. Shipments this year are 4% behind year ago, which is right on the pace needed to get to USDA's export forecast for the 2019-20 marketing year. Beans were quick to rally this morning after USDA also announced China purchased 66,000 metric tons of old crop and 198,000 metric tons of new crop beans. China also purchased 216,000 metric tons of U.S. soybean meal for delivery in the current marketing year. July bean futures 13¾ cents higher, 847. August beans jumped 12¼ cents to 848¾. November bean futures closed at 855, up 10½ cents on the day. Conspicuously absent from the importers, unknown destinations, Chip.
Yeah, right. But China was in there. China was in there.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, and we continue to see some business done with China, even though the rhetoric and the tension seem to be ramping up between Trump and Xi.
Yes, yes. Quickly here, July cotton 62 points higher, 58.23. December cotton firmed 19 points to 58 cents even. Have we got Joe V standing by? Should we hop over?
Yes, we do.
Let's hop over.
Yeah, we can
Let's
hop on over there. Let's bring in Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. How you doing, Joe? It's fun. The conversation on the show yesterday was awesome. Thank you for that.
Oh, no problem. I hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, we did. We certainly did. Hey, not a bad start to a holiday shortened week. I'm a bit surprised by all the optimism that seems to be flowing out of the equities into the commodities.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or not, but I am impressed by the performance in the soybean market. We sold some more beans to China. We sold some meal to China. I don't see any weather issues. I mean, I'm sure that these weekend rains were not good for everybody. I know there are some areas that are excessively wet and that probably didn't help things, but I don't think that traders are going to look at that those rainfall amounts and say that it's a bad thing necessarily overall. The equities are really, really impressive. I mean, you've got states and local economies reopening. You've got vaccine talk. A lot of positive sentiment here, and to trade 40% off the lows in the S&P 500, I don't think people realize how incredible that is.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Did the grains get any help from the energy markets today, or are we not watching that?
We should see that because there is a direct tie to ethanol, and the ethanol situation, in my opinion, has improved quite a bit. You've got CME ethanol futures at $1.16 today. They bottomed at 80 cents, like, you know, 2 months ago. So we've seen a big improvement there. Ethanol margins, depending on how you calculate them, I think are pretty close to pre-virus levels, if not better than that. So I believe we'll see continued improvement in weekly ethanol production the next several weeks.
Okay. All right, boy. And if we could pull the stocks down at the same time, that would be really good news. Joe, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, see you, Chip.
All right, that is Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. We had in the cattle trade, June live cattle bucked 70 higher at 99.40. August cattle jumped 192.5 to 99.25. August feeders were up the $4.5 daily trading limit to 133.30. We'll find out from Brian Hoops what's going on in the cattle trade. And then over in the hogs, June lean hogs bucked 72.5 higher at 60.50. July hogs jumped 367.5 to close at 59.57.5. Midwest Market Solutions on tap. On AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Join AgriTalk the first week of June for Pork Week, paying tribute to the pork producers who bring lean and nutrient-rich pork to your table. Coverage brought to you by Merck, PIC, United Animal Health, Alltech Hubbard, and HiPorp. Learn more at porkbusiness.com.
Welcome
Chip, when's the last time you were in a saddle? It's been a while for me. How about you?
It's probably 2 years.
2 years? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got me beat. It's been quite a while for me.
Is that right? Well, yeah. You see, I made the transition from the horse to the mule.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that extended my trail riding career just a little bit.
I could see that. There isn't any Roger Bernard involved in that decision,
no,
is there?
No,
that seems,
no.
That seems like a road he would steer you down.
Yeah, that's the old mule guy that that I've hung out with for a few years now. Uh-huh. That would be Lauren helping me out on that. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. Right. Well, very nice. Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. And you probably just flat out got tired of them, didn't you?
I had enough. Enough already.
Including that Flory guy's horses. We don't need those hanging around here anymore.
They were some of the most well-behaved and most attractive animals I'd seen in my life. Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. I know what they were.
My ribs still hurt sometimes.
Yeah, they were barely entertainment, and they were all the cost of a fed steer and none of the return. Is what they were. They were
horse
barely entertainment
analysis.
Until I got to see you ride them.
Yeah, then that's entertaining.
That's right.
Whoa!
He's a better boy. All right, let's get into the conversation here with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, I am doing good. Great to talk with you guys once again. Hope you had a good Memorial weekend.
You bet. Yep, we're hanging in there. Hey, you've been out on the road a little bit, it sounds like, Brian.
Yeah, over the weekend I drove from our Southwest Missouri office location through Missouri and through Southwest Iowa up to our Storm Lake, Iowa office. And that's where I'm currently at. And, you know, when I got to Northwest Missouri, it was raining and there was water staying in some of the fields. And, you know, things got better as I got a little farther north, got above Interstate 30, which would be about Denison, Iowa, farther north than that. Everything looks pretty good there, but you know, there I won't say there's trouble spots, but there's some spots that don't need any rain anytime soon. And I got to, you know, just kind of that initial windshield look just was telling me this crop isn't as far along as we want it to be. You know, the planting pace was great to start this year, but I think the emergence now is slow enough that we're probably close to an average. We'll find out this afternoon, but I think we're going to be close to average as far as emergence, and that may take that top end off of the yield of corn and soybeans just at this point in time. We really need some warmer conditions with some sunshine to get this crop growing. We've got plenty of moisture in most locations right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. In Southwest Iowa, that area that you drove through is picking up plenty of moisture again today. Like I said at the start of the show, there's storms and thundershowers popping up all over the Midwest right now. Some of this corn, you know, one of my favorite lines from Ken Ferry, Farm Journal agronomist, is you never want a corn plant to have a bad day. Well, some of this corn's starting to have a bad day in some places. Like you're talking about, those soggy roots aren't going to help anything.
Yeah, they're really not, especially if we would turn warmer and drier rather quickly. You know, there's an old weather cycle that we follow fairly close, and we're getting to the point where we're going to turn to a warmer and drier pattern rather quickly after being in more cool and wet conditions. And if you, you know, get real hot, the root system has not had a chance to fully develop and dig deep into the ground to establish that root and search for moisture. It could turn detrimental for the yield. So like I say, you may have taken some of the top end yield projections away here. Not that it's going to significantly change the balance sheets. We still have so much weather to go through, but you know, I think a lot of the trade is starting to get a little nervous that we haven't made new lows for this corn market since mid-April. We're kind of just going sideways all the month of May, and some of the short traders, particularly these big large commodity funds, I think may get, as I said, just a little nervous going into the heart of the growing season with these short positions on.
Interesting. Yeah, I wanted to talk about those positions, but I also want to throw this out to you, Brian. After what the market did last year, I shouldn't say what the market did, what the crop did last year after dealing with conditions that were worse than what we've got right now for most people, It's going to be hard to get much enthusiasm together for a too much rain rally in this corn market this year, isn't it?
Right. If you talk about a too much of a rain rally, it's going to be hard to beat last year's rally or yield loss. Definitely not going to happen this year, I don't think. You know, we could see some prevent plant in North Dakota and northern South Dakota, but you're talking maybe 3 million acres is going to go into prevent plant. And that's why I think if we get some sort of a rally, any type of rallies here for short covering, we get too hot, too dry, or whatever it is, whatever the reason may be, you really have to be defensive on those rallies and practice good risk management rather than just trying to ride the market higher and think we're going back to $5-6 corn.
Right, right. So as you take a look at what's going on in this corn trade, Brian, every rally's got its price, right? You know, the way I look at it is at some point in a move to the upside, and you look at what's happened, maybe not so much in corn, obviously, but what has happened in soybeans, how much more of a rally do you need before guys should start thinking, you know what, I need to start laying off some of my 2020 crop risk?
Yeah, you know, hopefully guys have started to do something like that. You know, if we could get any type of a move here, we start talking off of our lows here in the November beans, you know, 840, if you add 40, 50 cents to that, you've got to start rewarding that. And I think how much you need to make some sales, it kind of depends on how quickly or how aggressively you reward that rally. I like stair-stepping into it. So if you look at a 30-cent rally and start to sell 5% every time you get a 25 or a 30-cent rally, you're going to end up with some pretty decent sales, I think, as an average overall by the end of the year. And that's what you're looking for, because trying to hit a home run in a negative environment is just going to be next to impossible to do, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. There are times when it is okay to be thinking we're gonna swing hard and we're gonna come out of our shoes and try to hit that home run. But man, singles. Hey, if you can step in front of one and get on base, I think that should be the mentality now.
And for some guys, you know, the hardest sale to make is that first one, just to get things going.
Yep.
You know, if you got to make that first sale, go ahead and do that while we have a little bit of strength, and then look into, you know, the month of June and July is when you want to be really advancing sales. And if you're unwilling to advance sales, you know, use some options to give yourself some flexibility so that we don't go into the harvest if we're looking at much lower prices, that at least you have done something to ensure yourself that, you know, the 850 area or the 330, 340 area for December corn has been protected.
Okay. What do you make of the way that the beans traded today? We had the sales to China on beans and soybean meal, which surprised me a little bit. But then again, last week's soybean oil sale to China surprised me. The meal sale this week, we keep hearing about how good the crush margins are in China, but they're buying product. I don't know how to put those two things together, Brian.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Our inspections that came out this morning were the second lowest of the last 38 weeks, you know, so that wasn't good. But the fact that we did have a couple sales off to China, and there's rumors that they bought 3 to 5 cargoes more of soybeans from the United States. So we may see tomorrow another private sale announcement. All this is certainly possible, but, you know, soybeans are going to have to average like 22 million bushels the rest of this marketing year just to hit the USDA forecast. I don't think we're going to be able to do that at this slow pace that we're currently on, even if China comes in with some of these token purchases. So you look at the big picture in this, the USDA is likely to lower U.S. export forecast, which is going to increase our carryover stocks for the old crop marketing year, and that carries over into the balance sheets for this new marketing year, making things a little bit more difficult for us. And corn is probably going to be the same way. We need to be averaging right around 41, 42 million bushels a week, which is right where we're at, what we've been doing. But now we've had a rally at the Gulf. Basis levels have improved quite a bit, and that puts South American corn, you know, 30 to 35 cents a bushel cheaper than U.S. prices. So I wouldn't be surprised to see U.S. exports start to tail off into the summer months as well.
Oh, man, that's just the opposite of what we need to see happen here, Brian. We need to get
exactly. That's why you have to be defensive in here.
That's frustrating. That is. All right, buddy. Hey, when we come back, talking about frustration, let's have a conversation about what's going on in the cattle trade, in the hog trade, and we'll get your attitude towards those markets and what guys should be doing to manage the downside risk that they face at this time. We are talking with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions right here on AgriTalk. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Trade update confirms Brazil is dominating the soybean export markets. China imported nearly 5.9, or just over 5.9 million metric tons of soybeans from Brazil during April. That's a 2.6% increase from a year ago. Brazilian soybean exports are expected to slow down after July. Brazil has been exporting soybeans at a record-setting pace for months. Ukraine hits its wheat export quota, but wheat exports continue with no restrictions planned. Beijing warns U.S. is pushing countries toward a Cold War. The U.S. should give up its wishful thinking of changing China, said the Chinese foreign minister. And China's daily reference rate for its currency is now at a 12-year low. That just makes it tougher for the U.S. to export into that country. Hey, check out everything Pro Farmer's got to offer at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
All right, thank you, Justin. We'll take it from here. Welcome back.
You're saying you don't need any more from Justin? Is that what you're saying?
Huh? That's well played right there.
I don't know.
Hey, we're talking to Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Before we get back to that conversation, Davis, go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Well, Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 2¾ cents higher at 447¼. July soft red slipped 2 cents, 5.06¾. July corn futures were a penny higher at 3.19. December corn closed at 3.34. That's up a penny and a quarter today. July soybean futures were 13¾ cents higher, 847. Novi beans closed at 855. That's up a dime and a half cent on the day. July cotton was 62 points higher, 58.23. And on the livestock side, June live cattle futures were $1.70 higher, 99.40. August feeders were up the $4.50 trading limit. Yeah, 133.30 today. June lean hogs $1.72.5 higher at 60.50. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
And today, that feeder calf, he probably weighs 601 instead of 600 pounds.
a little on the beefy side, perhaps?
Well, no, because we're signing up for CFAP. Let's bring Brian Hoops in from Midwest Market Solutions. You know, it's one of those deals, Brian. Nobody is out there looking to get another round of federal payments. But if the federal payments are going to be made, Merrill Oster always used to tell us at Pro Farmer, you know, you take a piece of pie when the pie is passed. And that's what this situation is.
Yeah, basically it is. You know, you don't know what's going to happen down the road. So, if it's given to you, I know a lot of farmers out there are paying taxes just like anyone else. If it's an opportunity, I think you need to capitalize on it. And, you know, bank it away for something else down the road if you don't need it at this time.
Exactly. But just keep in mind, it is time to sign up. Got a message from Ron Soups out in Western Kansas, who has been on the Farmer Forum with us, and he's been on AgriTalk a couple of other times. And he made the mention that the FSA offices in his area are closed, although you can call in and make a reservation for the time to come in and complete the paperwork and everything to sign up for the CFAP program. At Gary G. Vetter tweeted at us at the start of the show, make sure that you ask your FSA people about cattle feed and if you can get a payment on feed that you've got in place and we'll be looking to feed. So make sure that you check on everything that you've got, all inventory. Speaking of inventory, Cattle on Feeder report that came out on Friday, Brian, I don't even know how you trade those kinds of numbers or if they make sense. But doggone it, the average trade guess going into that report, we had some wide ranges on placements. We had wide ranges on marketings. And when you take the average, they were pretty doggone good, weren't they?
Yeah, pretty amazing how they can nail that number almost every month. It came in pretty close. But, you know, no real surprises to what we saw on Friday's report. You know, takeaways from that is you have a lot of cattle on feed, but you're just not placing many cattle because we're not marketing that many cattle. The cattle are out there. They're sitting there on grass. These calves that normally would be moved into feedlots by now are coming at heavier weight. They're going to come into the feedlots a little bit heavier, but it's an issue for the market's going to have to deal with. I think we have a little conflicting fundamentals. Last time I was on, we talked about how the processors would kind of ramp up some of their kill speeds and their kill capacity to get some of these numbers slaughtered. And we've done that. We've improved each and every week. We're improving a little bit more and a little bit more, but I don't think we'll ever get back to where we used to be unless we actually build some new facilities and have more plants available. And that's really what we need, but that takes a long time to work through. Otherwise, these cattle are going to continue to back up weights, and that's a problem for this market. Is we may see some rallies as we get August and October at some profitable price levels. You know, I'm thinking October for around 104, 105 is an area that market may start to stall out. We may not be able to go much higher than that because of the increased numbers of cattle we have and the heavier weights that they're going to be fed at. We have a lot of supply that we're going to be working through.
Yeah, we certainly do. Certainly do. Brian, have you given much thought to the potential that we could have some mandated changes on how the cash market operates? What I'm talking about is the proposal from Senator Grassley and Senator Tester to have 50% negotiated sales that must be processed within 14 days, the 50-14. What do you think of that whole concept? Should there be something done?
You know, when I first got into the industry over 20 years ago, this was one of the things we were talking about, is instead of just, negotiating cattle sales on 1 or 2 days a week, to have more of a system that more cattle were negotiated, that they were sold throughout the entire week instead of just all at one time, and that set the market. So I think it would certainly be more fair, more beneficial if we could move legislation to do something like that. I think it's going to take a long time before something like that happens, however.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of conversation between now and any bill signed on something like that, I think. But boy, right. The conversation, I don't think there's, I also don't think that there's any question that the conversation is going to happen because it is going to be forced. So how did we end up last week again trading at 120 for the high in the cash cattle market? I'm having a tough time understanding how that cash market is able to do that every week.
I'm having a hard time finding producers who actually got that for their cattle. There's a lot of talk out there that, you know, these cattle, it's a bid that's out there, but it's not for very many head. It's for a few head spread around the country. They're really not buying that many cattle. They don't need the cattle right now. But, you know, with the investigation that's going on, it may be a little bit of window dressing that they're trying to give some of this money back to the producer and pay a little bit higher price. That's the talk that's out there. Right. Just like I said, just don't see that many cattle being traded at those price levels. I wish we could have everyone being traded there, but there's clients that have had cattle for 30 plus days that can't get a bid for their cattle, and these cattle just absolutely have to be moved.
They're past that time where they need to be getting moved. Are we paying attention? I know that you said we're looking at a different set of fundamentals now, but with that box beef market trading the way it is, you know, it's backing way off the highs. Of course, it's still, I mean, you could put a 2 instead of a 3 on the heavyweight choice boxes today, and it wouldn't be any less difficult for me to believe that that was an accurate price, Brian.
And exactly.
You know, and it just seems strange, this set of fundamentals that were dealt. I don't know if the tools that are available to producers right now, should they be used to manage risk, and if so, how?
Yeah, you know, the boxes went way higher than I think anybody thought they would, and now they're going to drop just as fast as they went up. You know, we cut the kill speeds so quickly that the boxes really had to go higher. Now that we're ramping these kills back up, they're not as fast or as big as what they used to be a year ago, but there's nowhere else for these boxes to go except down. When we increase kills, our box beef suffers, and that's probably going to happen all the way through the summer. I think we're going to see all summer long where these box beef values continue to come down to back to more of a normal range as we find ways to get people back to work safely and increase our kill speed. So that's the function that this market's going to have to deal with. It's one of those fundamentals that we're increasing kills, which is usually positive for cash, but we're also increasing weights. We're lowering the box beef values. That's usually negative for cash. I really think a producer, as I mentioned, October up around 104 to 105, that's some weekly resistance, several dollars higher than where we are. I really like doing some sort of an option window where maybe you lock in that 104 area as your worst case price and selling calls over the top $10 higher. That gets you pretty close to the contract highs. That should give you a pretty nice window to market your cattle in from now into the early part of October. You'll have a window to look at to see what price is offered available out there when the cash actually trades in that time frame.
Okay. Is that a fairly affordable strategy right now, Brian? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it is. You know, the options are, you know, you're buying one, you're selling one, so you're offsetting some of the cost by selling the option. We've had clients even sell some out-of-the-money puts, maybe an $84, $86 put to cheapen it up even further. You know, you don't have any protection below $84, $86, but, boy, that's near contract lows. It's unlikely we're going to, you know, that low. Once again, I don't think we're going to fall that far. So it gives you a really nice window where you can have a lot of time to see where this cash plays out and how the fundamentals play out for this market.
Okay, cool. I like that thought. I like that train of thinking there. What about lean hogs? Anything in particular there that you're thinking is a good risk management strategy?
You know, I still like doing that same type of thing for the hog market because the premiums are pretty high. The hogs have really backed off of their highs. You know, they're $10 off their highs for October. But if we could get them back up into the 60s and the 70s, I think you're looking at an opportunity there to do something very similar to the cattle market. If we get a rally back up to 62, you know, locking in 60 is your worst case price scenario. But I think the hogs have a little bit more work to get to those levels before the cattle market does.
All right. So, you know, Brian, it's always good to talk with you. I want you to travel safe as you head back to St. Louis area. And, hey, man, be good out there. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys. Always good to be on.
You bet. That is Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. All right. Yeah, good conversation. And he's got some strategies even for the cattle and hog guys. I guess I'm not surprised by that. He seems like he's always got a plan for risk management. And at least he has every time that we've talked to him here on the show. All right. Davis and I are going to wrap things up when we come back.
Agri-talk!
Just the truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to Agri-talk.
Sorry, I interrupted you there. You were going to say something?
I was just going to say, Justin, I said that. Take it from here. Come on.
Yeah.
There he is again. You know what that was?
What was it?
That was more Justin.
This season, while work for you
what?
May have changed.
Oh, and here comes Clinton. Easy. Here comes Clinton. Yeah.
He's
stand up.
Always...
Put it back in the box.
Airtime. That's all that matters to that guy.
Hey, let me check these energies for you really quick. June crude oil up 91 cents, 34.16 today. The August at 34.56. Let's look way out there. December 20, WTI crude oil futures at 36.04. So not a tremendous spread between the July and the D's. Heating oil futures the June still at 98 cents, still below a dollar in the front month heating oil. July at $1.02, out to the November 20 up to $1.13. Even still, not a huge spread there. What unleaded gas up at $1.04. Here we go. Let's do natural gas. Let's run them down. Up 4.75 today, $1.77 in the June. Go out to the November nat gas. We're at $2.43. So yeah, something's going on there. And then here's your ethanol at $1.16 for the June. So
right,
an up day in the energies. And
Ethanol still trading at about a dime, 12-cent premium to the unleaded gas. I haven't seen that show up at the pump yet, and I think it's because it's got to be because of traditional pricing, because now even an E10 is more expensive than straight gasoline.
Right. Right.
And yet it's still priced cheaper. We've got an upside down market as far as that goes, or as far as what we had gotten used to since it was that way, like forever. But, but now we've got ethanol. At least ethanol futures are trading at a premium to the RBOB futures, and we're not seeing that reflected at the pump. On, as long as we're talking about ethanol, let's jump over to corn here. And I liked one of the comments from Brian there. I liked a lot of the comments from Brian, but one in particular: no new lows in the corn is starting to make funds nervous. You know, so many times we talk about, unfortunately, the most bullish thing that we've got going in that market is the funds are heavily short. Therefore,
250,000 contracts, by the way.
Yeah. Therefore, they shouldn't be willing sellers. Therefore, they should be looking to get out of those short positions and take profits. And a lot of times all it does take is to get those funds nervous. And once they start to exit, we talk about this. Once they start to exit, then you can kind of, you know, the herd mentality kind of takes over, and you get that fairly aggressive short covering, and it can provide a lift for the market. Now, we've seen that happen, but unfortunately, we've also seen it happen where everybody says, yeah, the funds need to get out of the shorts, and the next time we get a CFTC report, they have liquidated covered a huge number of shorts, and the market has barely done anything.
Right.
So we just need to watch and see what's happening in here. But that is something that could give us some strength in the days ahead. We've got the weekly crop progress and condition reports coming up here in just a little bit. Okay. On the corn side of thing, the average trade guess going into it is that corn will be 90% planted.
All right.
That would be up 10 points from last week. Okay, you know, things really start to slow down at the end of the season for one thing. And then you think of all the rain that we had in some of the areas that were least likely to be planted. But what I also want to bring up now is that I think 100% is now lower than what it was a week ago.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? 100% is less than what we thought it was a week ago. And it's because of the last plant date yesterday, May 25th, in areas of the northern corn belt, North Dakota, South Dakota, parts of South Dakota. And if it's too wet up there and they didn't get the corn planted, we've talked about this so much on the show, they're going to pull the pin on that corn planter. They're not going to force the issue like they did a year ago. We don't have the government program, the MFP payment incentives. Right. We don't have market incentives. We don't have a lot of the incentive that we had a year ago to go ahead and keep rolling. So I think we're losing acres starting yesterday. Yeah.
I'd buy that. I for sure would.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's jump to this one real quick here. The National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook. And when I saw this, soon as I saw it for today, I just jumped to the conversation that we had with Mark Gold on Friday from Top Third Ag Marketing, where he said, you know, some of the weather patterns that are out there and some of the trends that they are seeing right now, would suggest that, you know, 1983 is out there as a possibility, as an analog year that we might see similar conditions. I told the story. July 3rd was the last day that we had rain in the heart of the Corn Belt in 1983. Didn't get another rain until September 8th. You look at the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for June 1 through the 5th. Above normal temperatures, and I mean high odds of above normal temperatures over South Dakota, southern North Dakota, down through Nebraska into Kansas, Colorado. But above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, and below normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt. The exception there is North Dakota, northern Minnesota, and northern Wisconsin, where we are expected to see normal to above normal precipitation. But Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and down into the southeast, all expected to see below normal precipitation for that June 1 through the 5th. So something to keep your eye on. You don't want to – you hit it at the wrong time. And if you'll remember, Michael Clark, BAMWX.com, kept saying, listen, we need to watch it. It could come at the worst time if we do get heat and we do get some dry conditions. So we need to watch that very closely. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we've got a Farmer Forum with Ben from Iowa, Glenn from Ohio, and tomorrow afternoon, Rich Nelson from Allendale, right here on AgriTalk.